B-Pod Studios.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Checkpoint Daily. On today's episode, we'll be talking about modders getting hired by CD Projekt Red to do the job that CD Projekt Red probably should have did at the beginning. And also, we're going to be talking about the Overwatch League. Apparently, according to Deserto, the owners are a little bit worried about the future of the league. And we'll stay with Overwatch, talking a little bit about their player base. Is it as healthy as we think it is? And lastly, another big streamer going to YouTube gaming. They are staging a coup against Twitch. It will tell you who. This is Checkpoint Daily.
The latest esports and gaming news. Checkpoint XP Daily has got you covered. Find it online at checkpointxp.com. Get in the game.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. Your host, Norris Howard, here as usual. And if you are used to seeing us on Twitch, well, you're not going to do it today because it's Twitch day off. A number of streamers and people around the gaming community are not streaming today in solidarity with many marginalized communities who have decided to not stream today in response to hate raids and
Twitch and not doing what they could be doing.
Twitch literally doing nothing about it. I will not be streaming personally today. Robbie, you usually stream on Wednesday.
I do.
So I don't you're not streaming.
I am not streaming, and obviously, you know, that this whole day off Twitch, there are different ideologies based on it, even aside from people like Asmund Gold, who is just being dumb about it. So, you know, I am encouraging anyone who is still on Twitch or doing whatever it is that they're doing, that at least take the day to try and look up some new streamers from marginalized communities, smaller streamers, basically anyone who doesn't look like me, straight white dude.
Check out YouTube gaming.
Yeah, you can go check out YouTube gaming as well. You know, give people that you normally might not have found some follows, maybe drop them a sub or some bits or something, and just spend some time with them.
Absolutely. So with that said, Robbie Landish, you're here. Hey.
Yeah, I am here. you know, it's interesting. Callie is actually going to be doing a Star Wars RPG soon. Mm-hmm. Tabletop RPG. Basically Star Wars D&D, right?
Okay.
But the Star Wars D&D game, a lot of other tabletop games will still adapt the same D20 system that Dungeons & Dragons uses. So you're usually not learning a brand new game when you get into something else.
It's just a story and stuff.
Right. It's just sort of the trimmings of it. But this is completely different from like the top down.
Really?
It's the first time that I've gotten into a game really deep like that. So it's really weird and it's really hard because usually the first thing you do is just like, all right, you know, let me look at the classes. What do I want to be? I want to be like a fighter or a rogue or a wizard and it's none of that stuff, and it's really jarring for me as a game master specifically. Callie will be streaming it. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, the other voice you hear is none other than Chad Callahan, Double D. What's up?
I'm excited. This is day one of 63 of Halloween. I am beyond excited.
I've completely forgot about your Halloween obsession.
This is me and a million other people, billion other people. Probably.
No, Halloween is until October.
No. This is day one of 63. This is the whole two.
According to Chad,
days.
The fall begins September 1. Celebrating Halloween.
The moment that I feel like the weather changes enough, which it did this week, to where
it's Michigan, it changes
every
day.
It's going to be
day.
90 this weekend.
I don't care. It started already, so it went down to the 70s, which is the beginning of it all.
Just so you know, watch it on Halloween. It's either going to snow or be 88.
Either way, I'm fine with it. It's Halloween. It's the best time of the year.
I vehemently disagree with you, but okay.
All the way up until Dia de los Muertos, that is when it ends, and then it's Christmas.
How anyone thinks that Halloween is better than the day where people literally give you free shit.
Ridiculous. Halloween is the day that people give you free shit.
Now, once you get past a certain age, people stop giving you free shit and start calling the cops.
It's true.
Maybe.
No, it's a fact.
Especially if you're not white.
Wait, Chad, are you calling Christmas the day that people give you free shit?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because that is not true, especially in the same age range. You end up spending just as much money, if not more, to give gifts, then you get
See?
It back.
Nope, that's the problem.
Hold on. It's all about cultivating expectations, Chad.
There you go.
Okay, lower.
Because I don't buy nobody shit. Mm-hmm. I buy my wife a gift. I buy my mom a gift. Fuck everybody else.
See, I like getting people gifts. So
I don't. I'm a terrible gift giver. I'd rather just give you money.
I gave you guys a great gift last year.
No, Robbie
you
actually.
What do you mean?
No, Robbie.
So mine was the most thought provoking gift of all.
Robbie is the best gift giver.
Chad
in the crew.
This may also say a little bit about me, but I'm okay with that. I don't remember what you got me last year.
Wow,
that hurts.
That hurts.
Especially
because it has your fucking face on it.
Oh yeah, it was a mug that I haven't used.
Wow.
Really?
You know
I
what,
use
Robbie?
My mug every day.
I've seen yours on TikTok. Yeah. Or not TikTok, Instagram.
Instagram. I use mine all the time because, again,
you're on it.
My face is my favorite thing. Anyway, with that said, here's what's happening in the world of video games. Now, we lament often the tragedy that
what,
is
what could have been
the tragedy that is Cyberpunk 2077
what should have been
the game that should have been but apparently a step in a direction. I'm not going to say the right direction, but it is a step somewhere.
No, you know what, I actually I'm going to go ahead and say that it is. I think this is a step in the right direction, because what we've been seeing from them so far, while it hasn't been wrong, you know, they obviously, CD Projekt Red wants to improve this game, wants to give people
sure.
what they should have got. And eventually, someday, it might go the route of No Man's Sky and be a game worth playing.
Sure.
What they've done so far hasn't been that. But in the modding community, and we don't just see this with Cyberpunk either. We see this all the time with Bethesda games as well. It seems like the modding community does more to help fix the game than the developers ever will, and never get any sort of recognition for it. So to see them actually hire modders instead of A, ignoring them, or B, going the Nintendo route and suing them into oblivion,
yeah,
it's cool to actually see them working with the modders.
So what they've actually done is they've hired a number of modders to officially join the ranks of the developers at CD Projekt Red by the names of Tradarian. Trade Rain, excuse me, Trade Rain, Nightmara, Blumster, and Arfuzo. They were previously known for making one of the best mods for Witcher 3, known as Wolvenkit, which allows you to, ostensibly mod everything. They're now officially CD Projekt Red employees. Chat, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just wanted to make sure we got that in.
I was just going to say, especially because we lauded when Sega did this essentially for Sonic to a degree, like where they opened up the modding community and made it, you know, hey, do whatever you want.
Well,
like, and make it, I think they could even make money off of it. Is that what it was?
Well, Sonic Mania was a passion project that Sega just basically rubber stamped and said,
go for it.
Go for it.
Yeah, it's the thing we wish Nintendo would do when like a cool, you know, game comes out from somebody, instead of just being like, no, you don't ever do anything with that game ever again or we'll sue you.
Yeah, a fan of Minecraft, not a pro Minecrafter.
You are pro
I am
Minecraft.
Pro mod, is what I was going to say.
Gotcha.
I'm pro mod since I play so much of Minecraft. And they, as much as they're not like developers, they still, you know, respect their modding community. The names of the people who make them are well known in the Minecraft world.
Oh, yeah. So like if something comes out from so and so, people are on it. They're like,
they're going to that YouTube channel to watch how to play it.
Yeah.
Which is nice, too.
No, I think this, you know, is the reason why I say it's a step in a direction and not necessarily a good direction is because, listen, we all hear the trope of, you know, the government hires the hackers that can actually get through. But the thing for me is just this is emblematic, in my opinion, of CD Projekt Red basically saying that their development team was not good enough to finish the game. And obviously that is exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. But to me, I also feel like, while from the consumer side, I think it's a great idea. I'm excited for it. I look forward to seeing what they do with the game. I just personally am frustrated that this development team seems like that they were, you know, put behind the eight ball and were forced to deliver a product that was in no way, shape, or form ever going to be finished in the window that was put before them. And so I feel a little bit for this dev team. I am upset that they will never really get the accolades that they probably could have gotten if this game would have came out, let's say, around now, as opposed to, you know, holiday last year. I'm looking forward to seeing what these modders can do. The mods that have come out for Cyberpunk are pretty good. I'm not going to say they're like, you know, Skyrim, Minecraft level to the point where the game is literally like...
But these were the same modders as well. And these aren't just, you know, random modders that they found. These are the same modders that were behind some of the, you know, the biggest and most successful mods for The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt.
Oh.
But I just said that at the beginning.
Oh, I might have missed that part.
Yes, you weren't listening.
But look, bottom line is we all knew when this first happened, this whole Cyberpunk fiasco first started, we all knew that in the end, it was going to be modders that would put this game into a playable state, paid or not. So it's nice to see them getting recognition.
No, it is. At least they can, at least they're getting paid. So I can be honest with that. Now, in a piece published late last night by Richard Lewis of Dexerto, apparently there's trouble in paradise for the Overwatch League. Apparently the owners are very upset with the league leadership.
Man, nobody saw this coming at all.
Apparently, according to Richard Lewis, they have been told that the owners are increasingly disaffected with leadership decisions, the cost of running a franchise, and the lack of a coherent plan for the future of the league. End quote. That's not a great sign for the future of this league, y'all.
Look, throughout the past few seasons, there have always been rumors or sayings about, oh, this is the year they really get tested. Oh, this is the make or break. Whatever. This, though, I think is the first time where that's honestly true. Like, you know, any one of the situations that they've ran up in, you know, against, whether it was the pandemic, whether it was this recent, you know, lawsuit against Activision Blizzard that has now affected the OWL, whether it's the lack of Overwatch 2 and the dwindling player base, whether it was going to YouTube and they should have stayed on Twitch and the dwindling viewership, all of those things are now culminating into the perfect storm. And more than ever before, losing basically what every sponsor except for TeamSpeak and Xfinity. I mean, that's bad because in esports, the majority of your profits comes from
sponsors.
Your sponsors.
Yeah. Flat out. And the thing is that makes it even more distressing, to be perfectly honest with you, is that, listen, every industry, ostensibly besides streaming, Amazon, and video games, like at all, suffered. Everybody lost money. Because people simply were at home,
except
not doing
probably
anything.
Probably porn.
And porn.
Porn yes. never suffered.
I forgot. Well, porn production suffered.
It's fair.
Because you couldn't make it. So.
Yes.
You could, but not the big studios. This is the studios couldn't make it. OnlyFans.
OnlyFans blossomed.
OnlyFans grew exponentially.
The amateur scene's fine.
Yeah, the amateur scene is just fine. But the thing is that everybody lost money, including many of these title sponsors. And so when you don't have that, they're looking to be able to, you know, cut costs. They're looking to see what they're spending their money on. The scandal here was really just a reason for them, I think, to pull out because so many bad decisions had been made with the Overwatch League. And I'm going to come out here and say this. And obviously, Overwatch League had nothing to do with the ongoing scandal that's happening right now. I think it's important for us to make that distinction. But the single, and I do not necessarily say this about Papa Jeff very often, the single worst decision they ever made with this franchise was to make a Overwatch 2. It is the it is coming back to bite them in the ass time and time and time again.
Was it ever big enough of a change from Overwatch to Overwatch 2 to really make another one?
Because
it didn't seem like it to
me. No, you can make it. Listen, if you want to upgrade the UI, upgrade the UI.
Yeah.
If you wanted to add more heroes, add more heroes. If you wanted to even change the format and the balance of the game, change the format and the balance of the game.
Dead by Daylight does it day in, day out.
None of that required you to do a whole ass, not a quote-unquote rebrand, but a sequel.
I don't think that, honestly, I can competently say one way or the other that it's a yes or a no.
Without seeing it.
Because, when it comes to development, that's not my world. And just looking at some stories like how in World of Warcraft they couldn't upgrade your default bag to have more slots because somehow that would have literally broke the game. Mm-hmm. And it took them like four expansions before they were finally able to add four additional
slots.
But they did eventually figure it out. So I'm sure that with some of the stuff they wanted to add, because obviously there's a huge, huge
World of Warcraft was developed in like 1999.
Let me finish. The point is that they do want to add a whole slew of new PvE type stuff, right?
Okay.
Now, have they done PvE stuff before? Absolutely.
Make it standalone.
Could they have probably done it? Absolutely. But there may have been some sort of development hurdle that by making a new game, they get around that.
Tell me why.
It's
this, Robbie, it's the same engine.
I'm going to use your thing. I'm going to use the Norris thing. Let me finish, please. What I will say is that as players, as consumers,
yeah,
that doesn't matter to consumers. No. Nobody gives a shit about that. So when it comes to making Overwatch 2, you are gaining one benefit from that. And that is the idea that with a new Overwatch game, that's going to be huge headlines as opposed to a new update. And yeah. I think that the damage that they have done waiting for it and not to continue to develop Overwatch is not worth what they've done. It doesn't matter whether
no,
it was a good
it doesn't.
Idea or a bad
it
idea.
It doesn't matter, and it continues to be a bad decision to me because you're building it with the same engine, using most of the same assets. Those are reskins for the most part, and then, okay, so we made them look a little more sophisticated. Whatever. It's the same engine. So why are you... What? First of all, why is the development for it taking so long? That's number one. And number two...
Well, I think this lawsuit is...
Well, that's but that's over the past 3 months. That doesn't negate
the
past...
I don't just mean the act of the lawsuit.
No. The things that
going
were
on
happening
as well.
Behind yeah. the scenes. Yes, I know. But the reason why I say that is because you've now attached this game to this league, and this league is... A huge amount of groundwork went into it, huge amount of investment from the owners, huge amount of investment from title sponsors. And you, the moment you announced Overwatch 2, you basically told your sponsors there is not shit happening with this game for the next 3 years.
Still should have been.
Fuck,
see, that was the
who
problem.
Who the fuck wants to hear that?
You should have continued to develop for Overwatch while making Overwatch.
Yeah.
Look at every other stable esports league, namely League of Legends. They have the same damn map for nearly
A decade.
For nearly a decade. The only thing that they churn out is new characters.
They literally just did the first changes to the map last year.
Changes to the maps, not new maps.
No, not new maps, but like, changes, you know, the map can be manipulated now, you know, via which Drakes you kill and stuff like that. But that's the first time in a decade.
I always thought, because, you know, the other side of it, Activision, I always thought the hindrance to the Call of Duty League was the constant change of the game.
It is.
And I will say to this day that, like, until they decide whatever game it is, it's not going to grow.
But the Call of Duty League is the more healthy league.
Oh, it's between the two, yeah.
It's the healthier league.
But you're, like you said, they're not putting development into Overwatch stuff, so why would anyone care about Overwatch?
Yeah, Call of Duty, they come out at regular enough intervals.
Yeah.
Changing games is still a stress point, though.
It is a stress point, but, you know, new shit is coming every year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for me...
Sometimes twice a year.
Yeah, that's the biggest hurdle that... So you already had that. Then you had the lawsuit. Now you had the sponsors pulling out. If I'm an owner of this league, which, by the way, full disclosure, Beasley Media Group owns an Overwatch team, the Houston Outlaws. But if I'm the owner, I'm concerned as fuck. Not just because of all the bad PR... I am literally losing money. There is no way around it. No way around it. You can't compound, Robbie, as you said, a game that no longer gets development, a massive scandal, losing sponsorships, and losing viewers. You cannot have all four of those at the same time and call yourself a successful
And we don't
league.
Know how many sponsors the owners have lost because of all this.
Because they all do have individual
sponsorships. You've got to think about that, too. And I mean, I don't know if that they lost any. I don't know for sure. But I would assume people are thinking about it.
I mean, the conversations most definitely probably have been had. So, yeah. I mean, that's one thing. But staying on the Overwatch point, and Robbie, you brought up something very, very interesting talking about the Overwatch player base. And also on Dexerto, a report came out according to Active Player, which is a data aggregator for the health of certain video games. put out a list of games and their monthly average player base.
Okay.
Now, to be fair, we know Overwatch, you know, not getting the same amount of development as some of these other games. Doesn't see the updates that a lot of these other games get.
It's also not free to play like a lot of games like this are.
And also not free to play. But the numbers here are staggering, okay? Right now, Overwatch sits at about 5 million on average with a peak at about 7.3.
Is this on daily, weekly, monthly basis?
This is monthly.
Monthly basis.
That sounds okay. That sounds like, wow, 7 million people, big number.
Let's compare it.
Do you know how many League of Legends has?
A lot more. Okay.
128 million.
Woo! All right.
128 million.
That's a 10-year-old game right there.
But let's even just talk about a more contemporary game. You know, a game that maybe could be looked at as an analog to Overwatch.
CS:GO?
No, that's not analog.
Valorant?
Valorant. How many people? How many people do you think Valorant has?
All right, Valorant's newer, so I'm not going to go
as
newer, high,
obviously. It's hotter. It is still a Riot game.
I want to say 25 million.
14.
Oh, all right. Okay. 14.
See, I would have actually expected it, again, being a Riot game and still being a game that's a little over a year old, and obviously very healthy. I think I would have actually expected it to be a bit higher.
Well, I think
especially with CS:GO players bleeding from it into Valorant.
Because it's so hard to play.
It's fucking
hard.
Do we have numbers for CS:GO? Because CS:GO is another game that's
not
in a rough spot.
Not in this particular report, but I can dive a little deeper. But Robbie, your big game, Apex Legends, your big competitive
has
game
been
that you play.
It's already a good game and has been on the rise recently.
It has been on the rise. Chad, I'll let you guess this one. How many people you think
I honestly
monthly?
Think this one's high. I think Apex, I've been seeing a lot of good press about Apex lately, except for, you know, one of the things that you just told us about. But I'm going to say 25 million. I'm going to stick with that one.
116.
What?
Million.
That's League of Legends like competitiveness. That actually surprised the hell out of me as well.
I didn't realize how is Apex Legends not as big of an esports as it is?
Because they've only recently started doing it. Right? And it is getting bigger. From season one to season two, they increased their prize pool fivefold.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, listen, these are big numbers and this is huge, but, again, this game is in trouble.
Yeah,
and they refuse to go free-to-play, which would give them a small bump at the very least.
Yeah. And listen, all I'm saying is that now let's also compound. Now, these are the numbers from July of 2021. This does not include August, where we saw the bulk of a lot of people just turn away from Activision in mass in terms of a reaction to the scandal. So I'd be interested to see what the August numbers are for this one. Fortnite is on this list, 283 million.
Oof, they're still holding that crown.
Yeah, still the biggest game in the world. It's not close.
Yeah,
but it's incredibly concerning. On all fronts for Overwatch in the Overwatch League. This is incredibly, incredibly disappointing.
See, the problem is I feel like Activision Blizzard, because they've had their fair share of controversies over the past few years.
Yeah.
And I think the issue is that they keep attempting to just weather them and hope that they'll go away, but they're doing nothing to earn any goodwill, and they're banking it all on Overwatch 2.
Yeah. Yeah,
they were slowly chipping away at their fan base.
Yeah, so anyway, that's going to be it for part one. In part two, we talk about one of the biggest streamers in the world. Yeah, I know. We talked about it earlier, but another of the biggest streamers in the world.
Streaming wars are back.
Going to YouTube. We'll talk more about it coming up on Checkpoint Daily.
Bring the heat. Share your thoughts on socials with us at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter. You could even be featured on tomorrow's show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. Your host, Norris Howard, here alongside Chad Callahan and Robbie Landis. We want to tell you guys to follow us on social media at Checkpoint XP. That's on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Make sure you say what's up to us there and share your thoughts about anything that we talk about here on the show. Now, Tim the Tap Man.
Yep.
One of the biggest streamers in the world. Again, same level as your Dr. Lupos and your Dr. Disrespects,
Ninja,
I mean, huge, one of the biggest streamers in the world, making the jump over to YouTube Gaming. The second big streamer we've seen.
In as many days. Which means...
Make the move.
Which
over.
Means, by the way, that these deals were happening at the same time. There's a chance this isn't it. There's a chance that this ain't done yet.
Oh, let me pull up that tweet that Ryan Wyatt, the head of YouTube Gaming, said. Because he said, essentially... Well, I can't find it. Right.
Did he say we're not done yet as
he
well?
He said... We're not, this is even the tip of the iceberg, essentially, is how we phrased it.
And they got that Google money.
And they got a lot of money. And they got a lot of time, 10 years plus of YouTube behind them to help.
And let me tell you something. I think this is a win for everybody but Twitch. And here's why I say this. Because number one, obviously it's a huge win for YouTube Gaming as a competitor to Twitch, right? Yep. We already illustrated during the Dr. Lupo segment earlier this week about the benefits of somebody moving to YouTube Gaming. It's a bigger pool. It's easier discoverability, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. This is also a good move for any individual who feels like their brand may have peaked on Twitch. There's not too much more Tim the Tatman was going to be able to do on Twitch in order to get more people involved in his
brand. Once you get at the top, you're at the top.
Once you're at the top, you're at the top. And it's lonely up there. But...
You have to share also, with XQC.
Also, this is a big win for Twitch streamers because that is one less whale in the way. That is one less big name taking eyeballs away from your channel
until
you get hate rated. But that is now Lupo gone. That is now
Tim
the Tatman gone. That's Dr. Disrespect gone.
And that's just the beginning.
And that's
so
just the
knows?
Beginning, allegedly. So if I am a medium to large streamer on the platform, I'm looking at that going, awesome. There's gonna be some people floating around, not necessarily sure who they should be watching right now. And that means a lot of those people will disperse throughout more communities. And that ultimately is a good thing. Twitch loses out because that is a huge loss for them.
Oh, yeah.
Twice in 1 week. And outside of Ninja, I don't think they're in the habit of drawing up many exclusivity
Even
deals.
Ninja hasn't gotten the love back that he did when he originally left Twitch.
Yeah.
So,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Tim
no, Ninja's past his prime.
Yeah, like... They're much bigger than him right now.
This is also a win just in general, not just for streamers, but for viewers. And Twitch could turn not losing Tim the Tatman into a win. Losing Tim the Tatman, that is a loss. But here's how everybody could win going forward. The more that YouTube does this, the more that YouTube shows that it is not just competitive with Twitch, but is a good alternative.
Yeah.
Just like Steam has had to start to do with the Epic Store creeping up, Twitch has basically been sitting comfortably. They're the only place you really go to stream, right? Yeah. They didn't even worry about Mixer. They don't seem to be worried about Facebook Gaming or YouTube Gaming. They need to be.
Oh,
you need 100%.
To we
need start doing the work. You need to start doing the development. You need to start making sure that people have a reason to stay there. Make sure that people feel safe there. You need to start working overtime to give people a reason, to prove to them that Twitch is the place to stream, not because it's the only place to stream like it used to be, but because it's the best. And between your discoverability, how safe it is for your streamers and your viewers, it just isn't.
Yeah.
It isn't.
I'll be the first person to say, if you are a newish, small streamer, and you have a YouTube channel already, you should probably switch.
You should probably be thinking about it.
Because the discoverability alone, just to get people onto your channel and shorts and all these other things coming together with YouTube right now, I feel like a big hurricane coming.
I think the thing about it though is that I'm not necessarily sure that I agree on that aspect. I think it's smart to think about. Absolutely, I think it's smart to think about every platform.
Unless you're a Twitch partner, you can stream on all three of the major platforms, regardless.
That's fair. Like that's a good thing to think about because was it Restream is a free platform, I believe that they.
I think if you're doing it through Streamlabs, you have to pay a monthly fee.
Okay,
you pay,
yeah,
it's like $6 a month or something like that you can stream.
I think
everything.
There are free alternatives.
But the thing to me that I think is really interesting is that they are only like a couple of gems away from like the white male streamer infinity gauntlet at YouTube Gaming. Because they have Dr. Disrespect now. Yep. They have Tim the Tatman. They have Dr. Lupo. They have PewDiePie. And now really all they need is Shroud. And
look, as much as we don't like him, XQC
and Ninja. If they get Shroud and Ninja, that's it. Because I will put XQC in a different generation from the rest of them.
I mean, fair, but I'm just saying...
Those guys are all in their early 30s.
True, but I'm just saying he is normally, unfortunately, top three all-time on Twitch.
No, he is. Yeah. But, the thing with XQC is I feel like he is very much so a monster of Twitch, and if you remove him from Twitch and put him anywhere else, he'll wither and die. I just feel like that's just where he belongs, unfortunately. But... as you said, Chad, if this ain't the end for YouTube, I mean, where, you know who they need? They need a woman. They need a major female streamer, because listen, I don't care what anybody fucking says, flat out, if you don't have women involved, your platform is ass.
Your whole
stance is ass, because nobody spreads the word better than women.
I would be shocked if we hear like a Pokimane or...
It would have to be Pokimane, right?
It's got to be.
Or Valkyrie or someone from her clique.
I think Valkyrie makes more sense considering that Courage streams exclusively.
Yeah, I was going to say 100 Thieves has a Courage. Don't they have a deal Courage. With YouTube specifically too? I know Courage does, but I don't think
the whole team
does.
Not the whole team. Oh, okay. Just him.
But because I think they're smart. 100 Thieves is smart where they let the players choose what they want to be on, because why would you want to be on
why
the
would
contract?
You wanna, yeah.
Especially if you have a huge following on Twitch. I can understand that. So Valkyrie making the decision to go over would be another huge win, because she's just rising in fame right now, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, listen, you're talking about the first woman to be on ownership team of a major esports brand.
Yeah, and a good one.
Like, arguably the best one of the past year.
One of the... A pretty great Valorant player, too.
Yeah, so the thing to me... YouTube is putting in the work that Mixer didn't. Yes. They are getting the people. They're bringing them in. They're developing the tools. They figured out how to do the drops. They figured out how to make chat not as annoying and toxic. But I also think that's because the viewer base tends to be a little bit older.
Well, YouTube's also in the position that all they have to do at minimum is just match what Twitch already does.
And then the only thing they have to do, and I'm going to say it again because I said it last time, is if
Twitch
they figured
has to
out,
actually like improvise and improve. They can't just match someone.
If YouTube can figure out a way to utilize clips and shorts the same way, integration-wise, with discoverability, unmatched.
I mean, because
they will win.
Because you already do it with your streams.
Exactly.
Your streams are already automatically converted into videos. You put your tags in it when you start the stream, and it's there.
It's so easy, because on shorts, all you do is swipe, swipe, swipe. Much like TikTok, you get hundreds of thousands of followers because it's easy to go, oh yeah, I'll subscribe to that. It would be the same way to get that onto your YouTube channel if you did a little bit of shorts and streaming at the same time. Golden. There's your marketing tip of the day.
Also implemented a way to go back through a stream, and obviously on Twitch you can make like highlights, but then they're all each individual. If YouTube implemented a way where
they got
where I could highlight stuff and then it just puts it all into one video, so I don't need like DaVinci or Adobe to do stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, YouTube used to have a built-in editor. Like, you could actually edit and put stuff in there. They took it away, but it's less advanced.
I mean, it is less advanced, but it is still
there.
Because
they were
wasting money on it. Yeah, and people were dumb. But listen, I think this is a great sign again for YouTube, a great sign overall for the health of streaming, considering that people are willing to spend money on it. Because if companies stop spending money on streamers, then that's a sign that maybe this is not the way to go. But according to YouTube, they're coming out and saying, listen, this is going to be incredibly important for video games in general moving forward.
One more thing, too. The biggest problem with Twitch is this hustle culture, where if you're not streaming, you're losing out.
You're losing.
And something that Dr. Lupo had mentioned, that, you know, with this deal, he can now deprioritize streaming, stream when he wants to, not feel like he has to stream all the time. And if all your creators don't feel like they have to stream every single second of the day, that now leaves more eyes open to discover other streamers.
More streamers.
And I'll end on this, because Ryan Wyatt, who is the head of YouTube Gaming, said this a day ago. Content creators will be more important than ever to game developers over the next 5 years. More gamers than ever, plus more money in development of games than ever, equal a necessity. Not a luxury, not for strong creator strategies earlier in the game development process. That is the truest thing I think I've ever heard.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so with that said, that's going to be it for this episode of Checkpoint Daily. We'll be back here tomorrow, so make sure you guys stick around for that. For Chad Callahan and Robbie Landis, I'm your host, Norris Howard. We'll see y'all tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.